God is with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, friends, we've arrived at the end of the liturgical calendar, that is. Relax. Next week, the Christian year starts all over again with Advent. And traditionally, the last Sunday of the year is called Christ the King Sunday, or Reign of Christ Sunday, or the Feast of the Solemnity of Christ the King, if you're feeling fancy. And as you may be able to gather from the title, it's a day of celebrating Jesus as King of everyone and everything, of the whole universe. And I could not possibly love more that the lectionary passage for today was the one that Ginny just read for us. Because the message behind it is the message we've been sitting with for most of this year. The questions it forces us to ask are the ones we've been pondering since this summer when the people asked God for a king and God gave the people Saul and then David and Solomon. To be clear, I'm not implying that those events took place this summer. So you know that I know my biblical history. I'm referring to the sermon series from this summer on said biblical events. This has been our year of asking, what exactly does it mean to be king? Who is qualified? Should we have one at all? And here we are months later on Christ the King Sunday, getting Jesus' take on the debate. I really want to break this passage down with you all because there's not a lot here, but there is a ton here. Jesus is being interrogated by Pilate, and this is after the Last Supper and after his arrest in the garden and before the crucifixion. So Jesus has a lot going on right now. And the reason for Jesus' arrest is related to what we talked about last Sunday. He was talking reckless about the temple. He was saying it was going to come down. That, coupled with the fact that he had amassed a sizable audience, coupled with the fact that he and his followers made no bones about the corruption that gripped the religious and political authorities of his day, meant that both Rome and Jerusalem saw him as a threat, as an enemy. So Jesus is being questioned by Pilate, and the first question Pilate has for him is, "So are you the king of the Jews?" Which is kind of a stupid question when you think about it, because obviously he's not. That would be Herod. So Pilate was hoping, I don't know, that Jesus was dumb enough or so greatly lacking in self-control that he was gonna, what, launch into a diatribe about how he should be the rightful king of Judea, or that he was crazy enough to actually think he's the recognized king. But none of that is nearly as funny as Jesus' response to Pilate, though. Jesus says essentially, "So did you come up with that question yourself, or did someone else have to tell you to ask?" Which is the ancient equivalent of, "So did you come up with that pickup line on your own, or did you have to Google it?" It's a little sassy. Maybe even a little disrespectful. Definitely not the kind of way you'd think you'd want to talk to a guy who has ultimate authority over whether or not you get executed. Definitely throws Pilate off his game for a second. He responds with, "What? Do I look Jewish to you? I'm not with those guys. I'm just asking questions here. What do I care if you're claiming to be king of the Jews? trying to stage a coup, whether he admits to that interest or not. Okay, so back to Jesus. All right, pal. The kingdom I keep talking about is nothing like whatever little man-made throne you think I want to steal from your precious Caesar. And if it were, I would have soldiers that would have fought for me, not disciples that ran and hid. So no, my kingdom is not of this world. Oh man, this is good stuff. This is the stuff God has been talking about since the people asked for a king and God told them, guys, you don't want a king. I promise you, you don't. Because us human beings, we make terrible kings. And it's not just that we're bad at meeting the sort of demands that being a king places on us. It's that our whole concept of what being a king is and should be is warped beyond recognition. We think being a king means military might. We think it means imposing our will on everyone else just because we can. We think it means amassing wealth. We think it means being safe because we can kill everybody else who tries to mess with us. So when Pilate asks Jesus if he's trying to make himself the king, what he really means is, are you trying to kill the order as it exists? Are you trying to take all the power and wealth for yourself? Are you going to get back at all the people who wronged you and your people once you have enough power to do so? Jesus and Pilate are like two ships passing in the night. They're both talking about kings. And they're both talking about two completely different things. Because Jesus is, in fact, the king, but being a king in the way God intends is such a foreign concept to Pilate. And heck, if we're being honest, it's a pretty foreign concept to us, too. That he and we can't even grasp what Jesus means. Pilate doesn't understand what Jesus is trying to say at all. Not that he's questioning him in order to understand him. He's interrogating him. He's looking for a reason to justify whatever he decides he wants to do with him, and, well, he finds it. So you do say you're a king. Ha! Gotcha. And Jesus, after sighing deeply and rolling his eyes, says, sure, whatever. Call me that if you want. But you're missing the point. I didn't come here to rule or have my way or whatever else you think a king does. I came here to tell the truth. Jesus is here to tell us the truth about God, about ourselves, about who and what we ought to be. The kind of king Jesus is the kind that washes his followers' dirty feet. He's the kind that sacrifices himself for the sake of everybody else. He's the kind that throws banquets for sex workers and lepers. Can you imagine how different the history of Christianity would be if we really took that message to heart? There would be no crusades, no witch hunts, no Inquisition, no Holy Roman Empire, no for God and country. We expend so much energy trying to make people think like we do when we don't even think like Jesus did. Spreading the gospel isn't a numbers game. It's not a fight. It's not an intellectual debate. It's truth telling. It's putting love into action. It's self-sacrifice. It's not needing people to think that you're right, even if you are right. Next week, we begin the annual celebration of Advent, the time every year when we remember that the God of the universe chose absolute vulnerability because power and might were never the point anyway. As we cross over into that season, let's commit ourselves to being a people who follow Christ the King on his own terms. Not the king we envision in our minds, but a humble servant king. You know, the one he actually showed us. one who leads us into humility and service, from a manger to a cross to life eternal. In that peaceful kingdom we've been promised but have yet to see. Believe Christ is King over first. But in so doing, don't forget what it means to be King. I want to invite you to join